Hello, and welcome to LIS Radio. This is a special class cast for the students in 9410 International and Comparative Librarianship. And we are here, Dr. Kim Thompson and I, Denise Adkins, are here with our special guest of the afternoon, Anindita Paul, a doctoral student who comes from India, who is doing her doctoral research on web usability and Google Analytics?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. And Dr. Thompson will be doing most of the interview. I will periodically be chiming in to remind you that if you, LIS listeners, would like to call in and you are in the Columbia area, you can call in and ask questions of us at 884-3803. If you are not in the Columbia area, you can call our toll-free number, 866-768-5483. So with that, I will let Dr. Thompson ask some serious questions.
Thank you, Dr. Adkins.
Thanks.
Anindita, first, can you tell us where you come from, where you were born?
Oh, I was born in Kanpur, so that is in central part of India, but I belong to Calcutta, which is the eastern part of India. So I'm from India, and I come from the West Bengal region, which is the eastern part of India.
Okay, thank you. Were you in a rural area or an urban area?
Well, I would say I was in a semi-urban area most of the time during my growing up years. So kind of had to move after every 3 years from one place to another. So kind of it was mostly semi-urban kind of a place where I was.
Okay. Yeah. What does semi-urban mean in India?
It's like a town. I've seen over here people call even Colombia a city, I guess, at some time. But we wouldn't call in India a place which has a limited population, very sparsely populated places, wouldn't be a city. So I would semi-urban would be which doesn't have too many, big buildings and business areas around. It kind of a locality and people who are busy doing with the shop, small shops and mm-hmm. stuff. And there's very few schools there.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's not very, it's not a metropolitan and not a very rural kind of, which doesn't have much facilities and yeah, so it's kind of somewhere in the middle.
Okay. So a bigger population than Columbia, but smaller than St. Louis?
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. What kind of schools did you go to?
The schools that I went to were all public schools. They were mostly government schools. And these were the schools where we could, my father was in a transferable job, so if we had to move somewhere mid-semester, then we could take our transfer certificates and go to the other school and show it to them, and they would let us in without any admission test or something like that, would let us sit in the class and kind of get enrolled for the classes. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Were there public or school libraries?
Yes, there were school libraries, and there were public libraries, but not the. It was like small reading room kind of a place where there was limited books and stuff where one could go to, we were mostly familiar with school libraries. We didn't ever, need to go to public libraries.
Okay. Yeah. In the public libraries, did you feel that as a child you were welcome? Was that did they set it up with children's services in mind, or was it more for adults and the school libraries were more for children?
As far as I remember, these were the libraries when I was in, these were I would say they were mostly for everyone. I mean, there was no separate child section though, but they were all kind of books, and it was a mixture mostly.
Okay.
Yeah, and I would, as far as I remember, they mostly children's, they used to go there, but there were books of all sorts, they were I see my friends, they used to go there and they were all kind of novels and storybooks, and there were other books which are kind of more you know, science books and the disciplinary books were there, but they were mostly children who used to go there. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is there any memorable activity or moment or interaction that you had in a school or public library as a kid?
I have not been to those public libraries as much, but in the school libraries, we used to have a library class, actually. I remember, like, where you had to go to the library and sit, and there were some books that were for students who can use it, and there were some areas, and this was like around my around 7th or 8th standard, so we were encouraged to go, and you know, it was like you had to be there and not go anywhere else, and so you had to read something, that kind of a situation. And so there used to be magazines, which I remember we used to go through those magazines mostly, and then there were comics and those kind of books that we used to mostly go through and, you know, share with friends and read. And other times, some other libraries we used to go for reference. Well, it was, again, like after, say, around a little higher standard, around 10th standard, and then around that time, we used to go for references. And so it used to be mostly like going there and getting the book and checking it out and come out of, it, of that mm-hmm. place. It hardly used to be like for the classes that we had in 8th standard, that we had to sit there for one period section. But in other schools, it was like, you know, going there, getting your stuff and coming out.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Good. As a child, how did you use reading? Right before we started broadcasting, we were talking about the languages Anindita speaks. At first, can you tell us what languages you speak?
Oh, I speak Hindi. That's my national language. English is the official language of India, and Bengali is the vernacular, the kind of my regional language there. So I speak these three languages, basically.
Okay. Yeah. And how did you use reading as a child?
Reading for me. It used to be like the different kinds of readings. Majorly, it used to be like when you go to school, you're like, you have so much things to read, and for our classes and stuff, readings to do. So it was like mostly reading those textbooks and stuff. But other times, there were readings which were mostly like friends. There's kind of, we had a friend circle, and there were kind of these books circulating around, and we used to catch on those books and then exchange books. And these books were all kind of books. Maybe it's it was like those Hardy Boys, Nancy Drew books, and then sometimes it used to be the comics, you know, Phantom, Mandrake, and there were some Indian comics and stuff. So we used to exchange those, and we used to read them. And other times, there were books like my parents, they wanted me to learn our own mother tongue, which was Bengali. So so the Bengali, to get that in us, like, you know, to for us to speak our own the mother tongue. So my father used to read to us the Bengali storybooks after lunch on weekends. And so I remember, yeah, those kind of. And also, like, there used to be book fairs. So we used to, my father, basically, he used to buy books for us and get it and ask us to read it. And then it was mostly a family thing and a friend thing, that reading thing, which was kind of, they were encouraged us to read. And I remember in those days, there used to be the Encyclopedia Britannica. And so my father bought the 28 volumes of that, and my brother was more of a reader, more than me, and I used to follow him whatever he did when I was growing up. So yeah, so those were some of the reading things that we started doing.
Okay.
Right.
Thank
starting
you.
From the family thing.
Great.
And once again, I'd just like to remind everybody of the telephone numbers. If you want to call in with questions locally, you can call 884-3803. And if you are not local, you can use our toll-free number, 866-768-5483. Back to you, Kim.
Thank you. So as you were growing up, what kind of libraries did you use? You used school libraries, public libraries?
It was mostly the libraries that I went to were mostly school libraries. Yeah. So I used to, yeah.
Just during school hours or
after? It was mostly school hours, yeah. And it was basically, I used to go for when I needed to get some book, and that was like much later when I came to the, we were in the higher education, kind of like higher 11th or 12th standard. So that time we didn't have the kind of compulsion that we have to go there kind of thing. So we used to go if we had to get a book or, have to need some help from the library, and then mostly for school projects and stuff, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Would you be able to describe these libraries to us? Open or closed stacks? Could you check out materials? Well, apparently you could.
Yeah, throughout my school time, these libraries, what I saw were open libraries, but there were some kind of restrictions, like when we were younger, I mean, it was more that that there were some areas that we were not allowed to go in, some books that we had to take permission to check out. Because, some of the students, they used to kind of tear off the pages and did nice pictures and nice things they used to. So that was kind of a restriction there.
So the books that had nice pictures.
Pictures, yeah. Those were those kind of books. And, after some time and in the higher classes, it was open, mostly open. You could just walk in the shelves and take out a book you want and kind of check it out. But again, like later on, when I was in my my graduation and my undergrad time, the library, this was again a government college, and this was the library was, it was closed stack mostly. So we had to go through the cards, and then we had to kind of ask for the librarian to get the book.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like different kinds.
Okay. Do you remember what classification systems were used there? Do you know?
No. No, I wouldn't be able to tell you about that much. Yeah, I don't really.
Okay.
Yeah.
Can you describe the staff who worked at the libraries you used?
Describe them as in.
Were they friendly? Did they rotate among the users or?
The librarians, mostly we used to see them as someone who's very serious, and you wouldn't want to go talk to them unless you really have to ask them about some book and something you need. It's very so when you ask, when you say friendly, I wouldn't think they were friendly, but they were helpful. So if mm-hmm. you need something, they would help. They would even go and show you where the books are, and if you need a book, they will tell you what book, but not you couldn't start a conversation or something like that. So
okay. And how long has it been since you've been in a library in India? When was the last time you were in a library in India?
When was the last time I was in a library in India? I the year was 2000, I guess.
2000. Okay.
That's yeah.
Can you remember what kind of technologies they were adopting there? Would you say that they are adopting modern technologies in libraries?
Yes. In my later stages, and that was when I was doing my master's, when I was in my school, I used to go to the libraries. But again, when off school, I didn't hardly ever go. But again, when I was in a course, I went to the library. So mm-hmm. it was things like, so when I was in my master's, that was the last time I went to the library. And they used, they had started using some OPACs, and, you can look up what book is there and kind of, check yourself, and if you had any questions, you asked the librarian. So I think the last what I saw was OPACs, and that's it. Nothing more than that. And this is again a small library, not a big scale library. It's like a, it was a B school, and so it had those business kind of books and management books over there. So it was just had OPACs and nothing more than that.
B school being a business school.
Yeah, it was a B school, but it was a very small scale school.
Okay.
Yeah.
So for the academic library, they had an online public access
catalog
but not necessarily internet access.
No, not internet. Internet access, not in the library. There was a lab. Mm-hmm. There was a separate lab where you could go and
that's not a part of the library.
Access. No, it was not a part of the library.
Okay.
It was not. Yeah, but we had a reading space and stuff where you could, you know, spend your time, go there and for studying and stuff. So that kind of thing was there.
Okay.
Yeah, and some other libraries also had, like, if you had study areas where you could go and study, but internet access actually came in much later. When I was in India, it was not, it didn't catch up that, you know, it was there, but again, not in the libraries, I would say, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Dr. Adkins, do you have any questions about libraries in India before you move on to media?
Well, you've made me curious. I wonder, you said you had done some research and found some new innovations that are in libraries now, but is the internet in libraries in India, or is it still kind of separate?
I would think, it is there, I would say, but it again depends on the kind of library, where it is, and the kind of school it is attached, if it's a academic library, so it depends a lot on those things, and I would say that it is catching up, and there are a lot of communities online, library communities, which talk a lot about digitization and digital libraries, and you know, the role of internet and in a library, stuff like that. Yeah,
interesting.
Now, I've read a bit of research about e-government in India. That mm-hmm. it's becoming quite a popular thing in India. And so that would necessitate internet access.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think, or cell phones or something, I don't know. I know that cell phones are kind of becoming pretty popular in India.
Mm-hmm.
Would you say more people have internet to a cell phone or to, I mean, more access to a cell phone or to the internet?
Oh, they have more access to the cell phone, no doubt about that, yeah. I think they are more into cell phone technology than here. I mean, I've seen it lately happening here, because I saw in India there were like a lot of internet and SMS text messaging going around there when I was there, and but I saw that coming over here much later. But again, I would say the last time I visited India last year, September, I didn't see much of the internet, the cell phone usage for internet access, though. Again, there are few classes, like there are some manager level people who are like on cell, and they might be using internet on the cell, but again, I don't think so. Others have caught up on that.
Okay.
Yeah.
So cell phones not necessarily used for internet access, but used heavily for texting.
All right.
Okay.
Texting. Yeah.
Do you have any idea if there's much like media, like news feeds or texting, like mass media texting, or is it all personal pretty much from your observations?
This is all personal, I would say.
Okay.
Yeah, not much of mass media. Again, it depends, like the SMS, it's like very costly for that kind of usage. Mm-hmm. You know, everything is kind of attached to the costs is a lot. So I guess that's the reason why it's not yet used for mass media and the kind of feeds, news feeds and all.
Right.
Yeah. News in India is I would say it's mostly newspapers and televisions, not more than that. Let me see. I think, yeah, those are the radio is also, again, kind of not as much for news nowadays, probably. And I shouldn't generalize it, because this is my observation. And this is, again, right now I am in the urban area right now. So whatever my observations are based on my surroundings in Calcutta, basically. And So it's basically TV and newspaper, and not much of cell phones and news.
Okay. Is the news broadcast in English primarily, since that's the official language, or?
There are different channels, like the English channels, there might be Hindi, Bengali channels, so depends on what channel.
Yeah. And print media and different
languages. Again, different vernacular languages, yeah.
Okay. All right. Any thoughts on the kinds of things that make news in your country?
The kinds of things that make news, well, there is that main, the national news, which has a particular time that comes, it talks about the governance and government political stuff, and then a lot of terrorist news and other general news, which are like kind of any, they're like any news which is here. I guess it's all more or less the same. It's not nothing different.
Would you think it's a more international, like more looking at other countries, especially the UK, or is it very India centered or area centered?
Again, there are different kind of news. So when the national news is something which would talk about international issues and talk about even Barack Obama's, the stimulus package, and there are other news which would focus more on regional things, and the news, the title of these news like differs. Like sometimes it's regional news, and then it's like national news. And then it's like weekly news, which kind of talks about the weekly happenings or around internationally. So there are news channels actually, and there are sometimes there are these talk shows which talk about different issues. And that's sometimes now I would think now the economic thing is kind of a major thing happening in India. So it talks a lot about the U.S. As well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, you've intrigued me with your discussion of all the various types of news, but I'm wondering about community news, say in the sub or the, how did you call them at the beginning of the interview, the less urban?
Semi-urban
areas. If your neighbor wanted to know what was happening down the street or something like that, how is news spread in between people?
Oh, well, there's locality news as well, which are which talk about just the sector, your sector, wherever the apartment or wherever the place is where you are listening to the news. But there are other community kind of social gatherings, mm-hmm. and these are sometimes on a weekly basis, and they get to know, and they're like very interactive people. I would say that it's every evening, most of the ladies, they have their own thing walking around, and sometimes it's the TV. So I would say the local news, very local news, are mostly the community news are mostly spread either, and of course the newspaper is also there, so that's a way to get to know what's happening. And sometimes there are like major news on security stuff. Some like my area where I live, there are like many elderly people who are settled there, and so there's some issue or other security stuff going on. So those kind of news are mostly spread by television or regional newspapers and stuff like mm-hmm. that, and also like people through word of mouth.
And kind of moving into another area, mm-hmm. how did you get interested in information, and what made you decide to come here to study?
Well, I was mostly interested in, and that's something interesting, because when I was there, internet had not yet caught up, and when it started uncontrollable situation. There was too much information available, and there was too much information available off the internet, and so people were like kind of juggling between what to take, what to understand, what not to understand. So I got interested in mostly in the dynamism of how information kind of affects a person's decision making, I would say. So, and I was working in this new IT company during the IT boom time, and so they were kind of trying to influence people's beliefs about internet and trying to put internet in a way that they find it useful. They're trying to place it. And so I was, and also the decisions that were being made were mostly, of course, this was a firm, this is a corporate firm, they were kind of profit-based, and so I got interested mostly in the dynamics of where information, where how the common man makes use of this information vis-a-vis how the corporates understand, you know, make use of their information need to incorporate the services they provide. So that was how I got interested at that time.
And you decided to come here to study?
Yes, I was interested mostly in, I would say, information behavior of the common man. And so I was wondering what information this discipline, information sciences schools are there, and kind of trying to apply to them. So yeah, then I decided, I applied to many other schools though, so I got through, so I came here.
But you came to the best.
Yes.
So there was no impetus to study in the United States. You weren't forced to study in the United States by your company or anything. It was your own decision?
No, it was my own decision, and my it was family motivated.
Excellent. And I'm told we have about 2 minutes left, so Dr. Thompson, do you have any questions to close with?
Yes. So I'm a little captivated by the idea of the e-governance and the cell phone use. Would you say that's something used primarily by the younger generation, or do older people use cell phones as well?
They are catching, they were like kind of averse to using cell phone because they kind of, it was a mental block. But I think I see my father using the cell phone a lot nowadays and SMSing me more than any of my generation people would do. So I think they are getting into that a lot. Yeah.
Do most people have wired telephones also?
Cordless? Wired?
Like
wired, yeah.
Yeah.
Most wired homes cell phones?
Telephones,
yeah. Yeah. It's like mm-hmm. cell phones.
So most homes have a telephone.
Yeah.
And then individuals also have a cell phone.
Yes. They have landlines as well as cell phones. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great. No telephoners in?
No callers. So I guess if there are no further questions, or Annie, if you don't have any further words of wisdom for us.
Okay. Well, I feel, when I was told that I will be asked these questions on Indian, I mean, I found I found myself illiterate a lot about, you know, about what's happening in India about this. And it was a major revolution when the internet internet happened to India, actually. So I think now the scenario has changed a lot. There are a lot of advances, in the Indian technology scenario, and even the libraries have actually progressed a lot. And the only thing issue is that people are sometimes so busy with their daily thing that sometimes they kind of tend to not utilize those available facilities that are available. But I think the scenario is much different in India now because of internet and how libraries are kind of digitizing themselves and stuff. So I think there's a lot more to know about India, and I know a little about it. And since there are multicultural, everything is so varied, you know, it's a mixture of different cultures and different opinions and. So I think that's something which is more to know about, yeah.
Well, thank you very much. And that's it for this LIS ClassCast. We'll see you next Friday.